Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000.
He'll run it. Howard, left side. Howard, goes there! Touchdown!
That's back.
Drive, step back in the air.
Oh, heavy step back and kiss myself. Big time players make big time plays.
Woo! Here's the 0-1. This is going to be a tough play. What? The Cubs win the World Series. Brody makes the play. It's over. And the Cubs have finally won it all.
From your hood to J-Hood.
Can't wait.
Weeknights on ESPN 1000.
Glad you're with us here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Jonathan Hood with you. Hit me up on Twitter, twitter.com, tweetjhood, on Snapchat, snapjhood. I'm an abbreviated show. We had our first hour, if you're just joining us. We were on at 6 o'clock, live. And so here we are. We're with you until 8:30 tonight. Then we've got Major League Baseball for you here on ESPN 1000 and ESPN app. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Like last hour, this hour, we're giving away tickets to see comedian Craig Ferguson. His tour is called Hobo Fabulous at the Genesee Theater on November 3rd. Tickets are on sale. Go to GeneseeTheater.com if you want to go. Stay by our listening device, how you can win in our 7 o'clock hour and 8 o'clock hour. I've got two pair of tickets for the 7, two pair of tickets for the 8th. You can either go and win them for yourself and someone, or you can win them for someone else. It's just our way of saying thanks for listening to us weeknights here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Glad to be here with you. The off day yesterday because we had hockey. Speaking of the show, let me just say this because we've got to get to some Cubs thoughts, and also we've got Tales from the Hood here this half hour as well. Then we're going to hear from Jesse Rogers at 7:30. So because we started early, we're moving some things around here on our program tonight. This show will have limited engagements moving forward. If you were looking for me in this spot last night, we had a hockey. Tomorrow we're going to have, I think, the Blackhawks also will play tomorrow night. And so as we get later and later into September and October, we'll have limited engagements to speak to one another. But it doesn't mean that I'm going away, because you can still find me. All you got to do is just stay connected to me on Twitter, twitter.com, tweetjhood. Also on Instagram, IG, J Hood. All you got to do is just stay connected, and you will hear certain podcasts and certain shows from me via the podcast. It may not be live here on ESPN 1000 all the time, but it will be in various places, especially with the Under the Hood podcast, something I've been talking to you about. If you haven't subscribed by now, I don't know what's wrong with you, because if you have a long train ride, a long car ride, or if you're working out and you just need someone to be with you, I'm here for you on the Under the Hood podcast. It's on iTunes, it's on Google Play, it's on Podcast Addict. Wherever you find your podcast, look for Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. The logo's there. It's got shades of the Chicago flag as part of my logo. Download that podcast, and if you already download the podcast, pass it on to someone else. Now, that way, you never miss an episode of the show. You never hear, you know, rare content and rare interviews that you may not hear on ESPN 1000, but you can hear on the Under the Hood podcast. We've had some tremendous guests. The list is too long to go through right now because we got business here. But my point is that if you don't hear me here weeknights, you can hear me on that Under the Hood podcast. And again, look for it wherever you get your podcast, wherever you download podcasts. If you're a podcast listener, look for that. Look for my name. Just type in Jonathan Hood. Find that on iTunes, Apple Music, SoundCloud, Podcast Addict, wherever you get your podcast. That's where you can find me. Because we've got a lot of audio that you may not have heard on ESPN 1000, but it is on that podcast. So it's not just the shows. We have a lot of bonus content for you as well. Oh, perfect example. If you're a wrestling fan and you are into wrestling/sports entertainment, I recorded a Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday that was not on 1000 because we had hockey, but I do have that content on Under the Hood. It was exclusive content to you. free, free of charge. So we did Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday. We talked about All In, the pay-per-view that took place in Chicago. We talked about what's going on with Hell in the Cell, which was the pay-per-view in San Antonio this past Sunday for the WWE. So we get to a lot of stuff, man. So just check it out. Download it. Some audio and some things that you would not hear on ESPN 1000, but you will hear on that podcast, Under the Hood with John the Hood. Okay. Oh, by the way, before I talk about the Cubs, I just want to point this out. Yacina Alvarez on my Facebook, facebook.com, asked me this out of the blue. As she listened to the show, she says, someone needs to explain to me why this lame-ass Maroon 5 and why that annoying, trashy Cardi B girl gets to perform at the Super Bowl, but not Rihanna. It's just out of nowhere. She just brings this up and just like, yeah, I mean, I guess it's a good point that Rihanna should have an opportunity to be at the Super Bowl at some point, but clearly not a fan of Maroon 5, as that was the choice by the NFL and by the network to have Maroon 5 perform at the Super Bowl. Like, oh, okay. Well, maybe Riri will have an opportunity. That Riri Hive is strong, man. It is really strong. People support her for sure, and I totally understand it. Maybe at some point, Yacina, that she will get her opportunity. As we do this here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app, Jesse Rogers will be with us at the bottom of the hour. He covers the Cubs for ESPN.com. So, Jesse writes this. Cubs' Brandon Morrow won't pitch again this season due to bone bruise. We saw that story, right? It might have come across on your phone. About how the Cubs officially shut down Brandon Morrow for the season as his recovery from a bone bruise in his pitching arm won't allow him to return in time for the end of the regular season or the playoffs. And so my thought on that when I first saw it was, well, it's to be expected, right? The Cubs have been able to roll on without Brandon Morrow. It'd been nice to have them, I'm sure, on the playoff roster, someone that could shut it down as a closer for this baseball team, but it wasn't in the cards. The Cubs are not a Brandon Morrow away from being able to really take the reins of the National League and really be that hot team. I think it's clear to me now, and I've been saying this all summer, that the Cubs are just not going to be that team that's just going to be on fire going into the playoffs. They just don't have it in them. I mean, they're playing well in this Arizona series because I think Arizona kind of gave it away, especially last night. That was three errors, and the Cubs were able to take advantage. And that's the kind of Cubs team I saw in the last couple of years where they take advantage of the mistakes of the opposition and really, really pound a team. What I saw last night was vintage Cubs from a couple of years ago. That's the Cubs team that I really believe that's been in them all season. And just, you know, they just don't have it to be able to be that team that could just run roughshod over a team. Now, there is a such thing as getting to the playoffs and then being able to get to attain momentum and move forward. But I just, this team has been so start and stop all season. I just don't expect a ton from them this year. And again, in this weak National League, maybe they will have the National League crown. Maybe they will win the National League pennant. Maybe they will be in the postseason in a deep playoff run. I don't see it. And the reason why I don't see it is because the Cubs have not shown that they can have sustained success and be able to really take a hold and just get hot as a team. It's a lot of maybe winning a series here, but losing a series there, losing games they're not supposed to lose, in and out with the injuries and issues that they've had on this baseball team. There's a lot of things this Cubs team that just doesn't seem like it's a World Series championship caliber team. Unless there's something I'm missing, I'll be glad to be wrong. Because it's just more money in my pocket. The Cubs get in the playoffs and have a deep run. That just gives me more airtime, more opportunities to break down every game and talk about the next game, the next series. I'd love to see it. I just don't, they just don't have it to me all season long. It's not a shot at like a Baez or Bryant or Rizzo or Contreras. But it's always been something with this team. And when this team won the World Series, it wasn't all this drama. Drama meaning here's an injury here, here's a setback there, here's a long drought here, here's a long losing streak here. Now the Cubs can't hit. Now the Cubs can't pitch. It just that start and stop, that the choppiness of this season gives me pause when it comes to this Cubs team. So in the pregame, Joe Maddon got a chance to talk about Brandon Morrow, that he's out for the season.
We wanted him back, absolutely. He's one of the best in the business. It's just not happening right now. So we've been able to manipulate it to this point, and the guys have gained valuable experience. A lot of guys that would not have pitched nearly as much have. And so now we're in this position, and in a very perverse way, we're actually kind of rested going into today's game, with tomorrow, and then to follow with the day off. So we're going to miss him. We've missed him. He's an exceptional talent, but hopefully it's going to be well in the future.
Madden also was asked, can you piece together a closer spot to win the World Series?
Of course it can be done. I've been there, but we didn't win.
Right.
You know, we didn't win when we got there. It's always nice, like I said, to have that guy, whether it was Chappie a couple years ago, even what Wade was able to do last year. However, there's other guys. I mean, let's get Stroppy well again. That could be very beneficial, too. But these other guys have done a fantastic job. I think if we continue to match them up and don't beat anybody up, that we could continue the same trend.
Also, Theo Epstein had some thoughts of what I find interesting. Theo Epstein, the head honcho with the Chicago Cubs, was asked this question. He was asked, is the workload to blame for Morrow's injury? And Theo said,
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, we were going to try to really be careful with him this year. And actually, I think he first felt it after that that one outing in New York where he was someone that we were going to stay away from, that crazy game. We came back and then he came in, and I think that's probably a lesson learned, that never to stray away from the structure that we have for him no matter what's going on in the game. So I was told him in there, when he's next year, when he's down, he's going to not be allowed to have his spikes on, because he can talk his way into a game or get out there when he, you know, couldn't be the whole, you know, we just have to be really careful with his usage, and so we can have him at the most important time of year, which unfortunately is not going to be the case this year.
So the thoughts there from Theo Epstein, very coy, the way he answered that 53 seconds of that answer. I'm not going to read in between the lines on any of that. I just think that it was an injury that's really unfortunate with Brandon Morrow. And the Cubs will do what the Cubs have done all season, and that's trying to piecemeal this team together and figure it out. That's just as simple as I could put it. I mean, this is what the Cubs have been all season, where they just and again, it's not out of the realm of possibility for them to be able to catch fire, because we've seen this in baseball, because that's how quirky baseball is. But I said at the time of the pickup of Murphy through waivers, I said, yeah, you know, Daniel Murphy is a nice player for the Cubs, but Bodey is a guy that I look for the future for the team. I look at a guy like Anthony Rizzo, who's been up and down, hot and cold at some points this season. Chris Bryant coming off of the injury, he came through and continues to come through for this Cubs team, because he went 1-for-5, had a couple of strikeouts in the game against Arizona yesterday. But the talent is there. I want to make sure that it's very clear. The talent is there for the Cubs, and the National League is there for them to take, but they have to believe it themselves. I don't believe it, but they have to believe it themselves. And that's why the championship feeling that I had in May of their World Series championship, and I said, yeah, you know what, they have it. They are playing together. They're blessed with good health, and the pitching seemed to come together. And it's just, and as much as I like guys like Montgomery and Lester and Quintana when he's right, it's up to the Cubs to believe. That's the thing. I mean, I look at that National League, and I would tell you from a talent standpoint, no one's more talented in the National League to me than the Cubs, because of the mixture of some young players, but mostly veteran players that have been there and done that on this roster. And so on the flip side of that, in the American League, there are teams like Oakland that got hot at the right time, and Houston, and Cleveland, and Boston, and the Yankees, Minnesota to a smaller extent. But those teams are teams that believe, that continue to roll. And I look at this National League with the young Atlanta Braves team that bottomed out and got back to the top of the list of the National League East. And then from there, looking at the Dodgers and looking at the Rockies and how they played. And, of course, the Brewers, they've kind of fallen back a little bit, 3.5 games behind the Cubs in the National League Central. So it's there for the Cubs, but it's up to them to believe and start playing better. and be able to have some sustained success, get hot, and move forward and have that momentum going into the playoffs. But they just, you know, they're just hanging around. And again, you'll take 89-62 if you're a Cubs team. You'll if you're a Cubs fan, you'll take that first place in the National League Central. But even on the phone lines, even amongst Cub fans, there isn't that same swagger. There isn't that chest puffed out about this Cubs team as many have had the last couple of seasons with this team. Because I think that the realistic Cub fan also sees, yeah, you can win the National League, but what can you do in the World Series if you get there? Can they be able to establish momentum? I guess that's the big question. Let us do Tales from the Hood.
What do you got there?
This is your car.
My car? I said a 10-second car, not a 10-minute car.
Pop the hood.
Pop the hood?
Pop the hood.
Tales from the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Here we go.
It's time now for Tales from the Hood right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. And Tales from the Hood is brought to you by the fine folks at Northwestern Football, Chicago's Big Ten team. Join the Music City champions, Northwestern Wildcats, and their tough home schedule as they take on the likes of Duke and Akron and Michigan, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, Illinois, and more. Go to NUSports.com for tickets at NUSports.com to get tickets to be in Evanston to watch the Northwestern Wildcats. Tales from the Hood, stories of sports, entertainment, everything else in between. We'll hear from Jesse Rogers coming up at the bottom of the hour here on ESPN 1000. Let's go to Dover, Delaware. Delaware's Division of Motor Vehicles has installed safe selfie zones at its four locations to allow newly licensed drivers to share the news and not their personal details. BOC-TV in Dover reports that the zones featured a bright backdrop in front of which people can take pictures of themselves to share on social media in lieu of sharing photographs of their driver's license. Okay, according to the DMV informational image, the top of the backdrop is emblazoned with the words, "Look who's driving now." The station reports that the idea is the brainchild of Dover DMV employee Willie Goldsboro. Oh, he's a genius. Willie Goldsboro, the genius, has had put this together. Last year, Delaware issued about 36,000 new licenses to minors and adults. So safe selfie zones in four locations. You know, that's a great idea, but that's not going to stop someone from just having a selfie randomly outside of those locations, because I've seen this on Lakeshore Drive. I've seen this in Orion. I mean, people are just going to take selfies when they want to, while they're driving, while they're at the stoplight. It's nice for them to have that, but it wouldn't surprise me outside of those areas if someone else decides to take selfies outside of those four areas. All right, let's go to Maine. Southwest Harbor, Maine, these lobsters are going to pot in more ways than one. A Maine lobster pound is banking on using marijuana to try to make cooking a little bit more humane. So the business Charlotte's Legendary Lobster Pound in Southwest Harbor is owned by a registered medical marijuana caregiver. So the owner's name is Charlotte Gill. She put a test lobster in a box with a few inches of water before marijuana smoke was blown into the box. The animal was calmer for the next 3 weeks, and she released it into the ocean. Gill plans to use the new method at customers' request and then build a larger tank to sedate multiple lobsters at once. It's unknown whether science says that pot smoke actually calms lobsters or has any effect on the meat. But Wynn Watson, who's a zoologist, his name is Wynn Watson, with the University of New Hampshire, said the possibility is worth studying. Whether marijuana can influence a lobster's behavior depends on if they react to cannabis, the chemical compounds in marijuana, he said. So, here's the thing. As someone who likes a lobster every now and then, the idea that the fishmonger offers lobster some herb before the butter is a little bit strange to me. It's to me, I'm wondering if it's really humane. And again, if you are an animal lover, you might want to look into this in Maine. Is it humane to blow pot smoke, marijuana smoke, on a lobster so the lobster can be like, hey, man, I'm really having a good time here. I don't smell so fishy, man. Don't eat me, man. I mean, come on. Seriously? I mean, again, a Maine lobster pound is banking on using marijuana to try to make cooking the a little bit more humane. Just people,
so strange.
People come up with some of the weirdest things. All right, another animal story out of Newark, New Jersey. A man caught on video lathering up and giving himself a shave while riding on a New Jersey train was violating the agency's rules. A fellow rider on the Northeast Corridor line of New Jersey, of that transit, took the video Thursday and they tweeted it. Some commenters said that they were impressed by the unidentified man's shaving skills, while others were grossed out. So think about this. A man is caught on video lathering himself up and shaving while riding on the train. Now, New Jersey Transit says that it prohibits bathing or shaving aboard trains and buses. Now, think about you on the L, okay? Or think about the transit that you take, whether it's a bus or train. And think about someone deciding, well, this is the proper time now to just wash underneath the pits and make sure I get, you know, take off the 5 o'clock shadow. I'm glad it's a man doing it, not a woman, by the way. If a woman is doing that shaving, that would be uncomfortable. New Jersey Transit says that it's uncomfortable with a man, but this thing if a woman decides, like, yeah, I'm going to shave now, if you pardon the expression. New Jersey Transit says that it prohibits bathing or shaving aboard trains and buses. Conductors can ask customers to stop. If they refuse, the conductor can notify police. So, in this video, this guy Pete says, it's the from NewJersey.com, says one of the strangest things I've ever seen in 20 years as a commuter. He says that the clean-shaven man then ordered himself a beer. So weird. So weird. Well, I mean, it's almost like they just want... It's not as egregious as like when Lou Piniella allegedly was in a store here downtown and tried on a shirt, but didn't go to the dressing room. Like, I like this shirt right here. Puts on a Tommy Bahama, like right in front of everybody. Takes off his other shirt, just puts on a shirt, and it's not quite like that. That's mild compared to someone wanting to groom themselves in front of everybody. I mean, did he have like a pan to catch the water? Did he have like a pan of water so he can get a good shave? I mean, it's so disgusting, and it's just not surprising. Lastly, Florida neighbors can't bear the sight of a nude gardener. So Adam and Eve may have been naked in the Garden of Eden, but neighbors in a South Florida city are not happy about a nude gardener in their paradise. Just quickly, residents in a North Stewart neighborhood called the Martin County Sheriff's Office to complain about a man who does yard work and walks around in the nude, but deputy says there's nothing they can do. I came out Sunday night to put the trash out, and the guy's bent over, winding up his hose, if you pardon the expression. And I'm like, that's in the view of the neighborhood. And a neighbor told the television station what happened. He works in his car, and he's naked, and everyone has called the police, and he's just out there just doing yard work whenever he's outside, naked. The naked truth is, deputy said, is that as long as the man is not touching himself inappropriately, authorities cannot do anything because he's on his own property. That is just ridiculous. So, not taking the man's right away, but the point is that if he's naked, right? I mean, there's got to be some kind of law. Maybe not in that city, but there should be a law. Like, if you're out there and you're exposed, shouldn't that man be arrested? I mean, he has to touch himself inappropriately for him to be arrested. He's butt naked in front of the whole neighborhood, and it's okay. The sheriff's department told me to just turn my head, said Charlie Estes, who was a neighbor of this guy. Unbelievable. Florida, Ohio, that's clearly a Stewart, Florida story. All right, Felix, what do you have?
All right, Jonathan, I have, well, back in 1996, there was a big movie by the name of Space Jam, where Michael Jordan was starred, and he was obviously the biggest superstar then. And now, 20 years later, we have Space Jam 2. And it's being reported it's not a sequel, and it's going to star LeBron James. Now, the great thing about this is that it's something we've all known, and it's been in the works for a while, so it's kind of cool to actually see it. The funny thing is King James came out on Instagram, and he posted the little photo of the locker room with all the names on each locker. His comments were going crazy, and he had Tiago Splitter comments saying, "Let me know if you need anybody to block." Uncle Jeff Green, which is Jeff Green, he goes, "If you need extras, let me know." Evan Turner, Matthew Dellavedova, and there's just a ton of players now just writing on it because they want to come out and be an extra in this movie. So I don't know. 20 years later, I'm excited. I know it was an original. It was a classic with Michael Jordan in it. But I don't know, man. I'm kind of excited to see LeBron James in this one now.
Looking forward to seeing what LeBron's going to do. LeBron's been all over the place doing a lot of things from a television and film, cinema standpoint. He's staying busy, that's for sure. He's getting ready for his post-career, especially dealing with television and working behind the scenes as an executive producer. And that is Tales from the Hood, brought to you by Northwestern Football, Chicago's Big Ten team. And glad that you're with us here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. Coming up a little bit more on the Cubs, let's find out what's going on with this Cubs team with Jesse Rogers. That's next as you're listening to Under the Hood.
Jonathan Hood weeknights on ESPN 1000.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Glad that you're with me here on this Wednesday night. We will hear from Bob Kemp, who covers the Arizona sports scene, coming up at the top of the hour here on ESPN 1000. Don't forget, I got those tickets for you if you want to go see Craig Ferguson at the Genesee Theater on November 3rd. Got tickets to give away this hour and next hour right here on Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. We turn now to the desert and say hello to Jesse Rogers, who covers the Cubs for ESPN.com. Follow him on Twitter at ESPN Shy Cubs. He joins us right here on ESPN 1000. Hello, Jess.
Good evening, Jay Hood. What's up, pal?
You know what's happening, pal. Cubs baseball, of course. You know what's happening. You know, I was saying earlier at the top of this hour, I thought that the game that the Cubs played yesterday was kind of vintage Cubs, especially during that championship year where they're taking advantage of the mistakes by the Diamondbacks, they're able to hit the pitching hard. You like to see that more often if you're a Cubs fan, especially down the stretch here.
Well, yeah, they are taking advantage of other teams' mistakes. I mean, it's a marathon, this thing, 162, and you see the Diamondbacks fading. You see other teams tend to fade. I mean, in some ways, the Brewers have faded a little bit. Here's a chance for Milwaukee to grab first place, and they went backwards at home without playing all those days in a row. So, I mean, the good teams survive and take advantage and use their experience. And a guy like Joe rests a lot of guys inherently, and then obviously during stretches like this, he'll do it even more. So this is a well-oiled machine, the Chicago Cubs. They know how to deal with each day and the challenges of that particular day, and then they're able to move on. And you don't see that out of some of these teams. Atlanta's done a great job of hanging in there, but there's a few teams that are fading, and one of them are these Diamondbacks.
What are your biggest question marks for the Cubs for these last couple of weeks of the regular season?
I mean, I think it's kind of the obvious stuff. I mean, can this offense be a little bit more consistent and find a gear here as they head to the playoffs, get back to what they were a while ago? It's been a pretty long stretch in general, other than the bump they got when they traded for Daniel Murphy. So will those names get back to being dangerous names heading into October? I think that's something to wonder about. And even if they have a hot 2 weeks, you don't know what it's going to look like once the playoffs start. And then obviously, how exactly will Joe manage this bullpen without Strope, without Morrow? We're seeing some of it. But will a guy like Jorge De La Rosa really be a key guy next month? I asked Joe today, who's the linchpin? Because he likes to use that word. And he's basically said the same guy all year. Justin Wilson is the guy. He's the guy that kind of will keep all things together if going well. And he mentioned Carl Edwards, getting him back. So I think just how this bullpen sort of sorts itself out these last couple weeks is probably the most interesting thing for me.
Jesse Rogers covers the Cubs for ESPN.com. He joins me, Jonathan Hood, on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. As far as this Cubs team is concerned with Joe Maddon and the whole thing with Contreras, you and I have not talked about that. You know, that Maddon, even as in his core, he is a player's manager, but he also loves to defend his players at the same time. The Contreras not respecting 90. What did you think of that when you first saw it and Madden's reaction to it?
What I thought of it was, you know, it happens. It's awful. It's terrible. It's silly. It's stupid. You got to run. I mean, every little leaguer knows that. But it does happen. It's not unique to the Cubs. It's not unique to anybody. It could happen at any time to anybody. So I'm not giving it a pass. It was awful. Not too surprised by Joe's reaction. It was such an indefensible move that what else could Joe say but be honest and obvious about how awful it was. But I do like how he handles things and how the team handles things. I don't think I've seen Wilson Contreras run harder than he did the next day in his three or four at-bats. I mean, he was booking out of the box. So if it's a teachable moment, even in September, that's great because you're heading into the most important time of the year. I said this on the radio the next day. No one's going to dog it on this Cub team out of the box. Of course, Javi hit a homer and took his time, but he knew it was out. I mean, I guess if you know it's out, do what you want, but you better know it's out. So other than the obvious home runs, I think it was almost a positive moment in a sense because now with being humiliated the way he was, I think it's a good wake-up call. Where is the stretch run? Nobody dogs anything right now, so you better run hard.
Yeah, he can run hard, but he's not going to be as fast as you because, I mean, no one was fast as you back in your day, right? I mean,
well, I think Dan Jiggetts dubbed me the fastest man in Northbrook. Right. So, I mean, I can live up to that title without proving it.
The Northbrook Flash. A good man,
fastest
Jesse.
Man.
Yeah, exactly right. He did. I mean, if nothing else, you had that going for you as Jiggetts would dub you that. That's actually good.
I just never had to prove it, though. So that was
right.
The good part.
Thank God back in those days because that's exactly what you had to do, man. You'd have to run down Belmont Avenue and try to prove how fast you were. Oh, my God. So the Moro news was not a surprise to you because as we've been talking about all summer that it wasn't likely for him to come back. And if he came back, what kind of Moro would you have? And so to me, this is just kind of the typical Cubs where they're going to have to just piecemeal something together. Is the closer that's pitching now the closer that you think can be able to flourish in a playoff situation?
Well, I don't know who the closer is pitching now. I mean, their last five saves have come from five different pitchers.
Well, it's Edwards then, right? Isn't it Edwards?
What's that?
It's Edwards, isn't it?
No, it's not Edwards, not the way he's pitching right now. He's got to get there. I think it's Justin Wilson is going to be the man right now. But like I said, the last five saves have come from five different players. So you tell me. I mean, I think he could go into a playoff game using three pitchers to get out of the ninth inning. I think he'd love to use one, but I think he's going to be ready to use anybody and everybody that can get an out. It's going to open him up for second guessing, but it's not all his fault. Although some people think, you know, he got Moro hurt by pitching him too much and he got Strope hurt by batting him. But, the point is, you know, they don't have Chapman. They don't have Davis. He's going to have to mix and match. And if Justin Wilson emerges as the man these last 2 weeks, then I expect he'll be the man in October. But I also expect Joe to be ready to back up anybody he uses in the eighth and ninth inning.
Okay. So the reason why I said Edwards is because it would be typical Joe Maddon to just go opposite of what people think and then just embolden Edwards to be able to be a better pitcher here and try him out, even though he has his struggles. So what's your choice?
Joe does do that. He tries to bring guys back from oblivion, and he's going to try to do that with Edwards. I just don't know if he'll try to do it in the ninth inning in a one-run game right now.
So your choice is Cishek then?
I don't know what my choice is, to be honest. I mean, I do like Justin Wilson. I do like Justin Wilson. No, Cishek can't get lefties out in a tight game. I don't trust. So you can't. If two outs bottom of the ninth and it's a tough righty, I'd bring Cishek in. But to get a 1-2-3 inning in the ninth against righty, lefty, righty, whatever, Justin Wilson is the guy because he's the most likely guy to get both righties and lefties out. Edwards is also a guy like that when he's on, but right now he's not, and Wilson is. So you can't do Cishek for an inning unless it's three three righties only. That's the way I look at it.
What's the atmosphere at that ballpark? I haven't been there yet. You've been there a number of times. It seems in the outfield fun, but does it seem like an inviting ballpark where you could bring the family and have a lot of fun at that park?
Not really. Now I'm getting a bad vibe because the Diamondbacks are fading. The fans, at least their fans, don't care. A lot of guys around here yesterday were saying it felt like a back game at a spring training facility, like a B game, the way the Cubs, you know, got out. I mean, it just, the Diamondbacks didn't put up a fight at all. It didn't. September baseball is weird. The season needs to end August 31st. That's a whole other story. So it's not. I mean, but I don't see it filled here very often. So I don't like it. I don't like the ballpark that much. Nobody really does. If they're going to move in about three or four, you know, they're going to move within 3 or 4 years, something like that. Probably closer to Scottsdale and some of the other spring sites. To be honest, they're going to get out of downtown. But no, it's not that inviting. To answer your question,
no. Okay, so from what you understand, is it an outdoor or will they do once again a indoor?
Oh, you
got
to have a roof. No, yeah, you have to have a roof. You can't play here in the dead of summer. Just some guys would be passing out left and right. So yeah, it'll be a roof. It'll actually be near the Cubs facility, I think, not in Mesa, but near it. And you know, that Scottsdale is the ritzy suburb, all that stuff. So they'll get plenty of fans, and hopefully it's a state of the art place. This place is not doing well for one that's not that old.
You know, autumn is right around the corner, Jesse. It's on September 22nd. Is there a nice gift that you can give for someone that's celebrating the autumn?
The change of seasons?
The change of seasons. Changing seasons kind of gift, yes.
That's very funny. Yes, I actually met a great fan yesterday and signed one of the books, Try Not to Suck, the definitive bio on Joe Maddon, the sometimes controversial manager of the Cubs, but a guy that's going to lead them to four straight playoff appearances probably here. So Try Not to Suck, available everywhere, and if they go very deep this year, I'll have to add a chapter. So you may even have a new chapter when you buy the book, if you buy it in a couple months. We'll see.
I can't wait for the audio book. That's going to be a lot of fun. I've been hearing that there's going to be an audio version of this. So I'm looking forward to that.
I think,
you going to read that thing?
I think it's out. I didn't read it, but I think it's out. I thought I saw that. Someone could email me and let me know for sure. But I think there's an audio version, but I wasn't the one that voiced it. So yes, go check that out. Maybe Joe voiced it. I didn't even know it. I don't know. But no, I shouldn't say that because everybody thinks that it's like an autobiography. It's not. There's no ties with Joe to it. I wrote it about him, not with him, to make that clear.
You're amazing. So again, Try Not to Suck. Again, look for that and order it, please, because Jesse would appreciate that. I know I'd appreciate it as well.
Thank you very much, Jacob.
No, thank you, sir, because autumn's right around the corner. Thank you, sir.
All right, talk to you later, buddy.
It's Jesse Rogers, who covers the Cubs for ESPN.com. Follow him on Twitter at ESPN Chi Cubs. The Chicago Blackhawks hit the ice at the United Center this fall with an exciting original six matchup as they face the Toronto Maple Leafs on Sunday, October 7th. Great seats are still available for the home opener and all season long. Come see Jonathan Toews, Patrick Kane, Duncan Keith, and Brent Seabrook. Skate with the rising stars like Schmaltz and Deborah Cannon and others. Go to ChicagoBlackhawks.com, pick out your favorite games, and purchase tickets to see your Blackhawks play now. ChicagoBlackhawks.com. Glad that you're with us here on Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000.
I go good, like a doctor. When I rock the mic, you got to like it.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000.
You're listening to my mans and them, Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
All right, Leon Rogers with you until 8:30, and we got baseball here, so we got an abbreviated edition of Under the Hood right here on ESPN 1000. Do you know the name of Jesse Rogers' book? He was just on with us just moments ago. Do you know the name of the book? If you know the name of his book, caller 2, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. What's the name of Jesse Rogers' book? If you know the name of Jesse's book, we will hook you up with tickets to see Craig Ferguson at the Geneseo Theater, the Genesee Theater in Waukegan. He's going to be in town in the Chicagoland area November 3rd. GeneseeTickets.com is where you can get tickets, but we want to give you free tickets. So a pair of tickets right now, the name of Jesse's book, caller 2, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our telephone number. So the second caller, you'll be able to get those tickets our way of saying thanks for listening to me, Jonathan Hood, here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Okay, by the way, looking at what the NFL is trying to do here when it comes to a number of players that have put out their former players, the Hall of Famers, they're saying, hey, I want to make sure that we don't go to the Hall of Fame and support others because of what's going on here where certain players are not getting the treatment that they deserve as far as wages and health care. You know, I didn't realize until Jim Brown and others were able to step forward and say, hey, you know, others are not getting health care once they are retired. So there's some players that are going to be banning going to Canton because the NFL is not taking care of their players. You know, as much as the NFL tries and they try and they try to do what they perceive as right, they're still behind the times of other sports. For Jim Brown, the impact of Jim Brown saying, I'm not going to go to Canton because the NFL doesn't do right by former players as far as taking care of their health care, that's tough. It's really tough. It is a tough game, the NFL, in playing football. So why isn't something in place for NFL players to be taken care of after their playing career? And I will dig more and more into this as we move forward here, but I don't blame for some of these former players to say, hey, take care of these guys that might have some CTE issues or medical bills. Take care of these players because that's a major issue. Once again, Roger Goodell, just behind the times, he's got to be able to play. He's always playing from behind, always with the catch-up. He's got to be able to do right by some of these former players and current players, by the way, in that league. All right, we will hear more about the Bears and Arizona Cardinals. Also, some thoughts about what's going on with this Cubs-Diamondbacks series with Bob Kemp. That'll be coming up next right here on ESPN 1000.
Yep, yep. Hey, yo, Jay Hood, you know nobody covers the sports like you do, man. Let's go.